Over two centuries ago, hundreds of people in Massachusetts said they spotted a sea serpent. It's one of the most well-documented sea serpent sightings in history. The place was Gloucester Harbor. It's a beautiful sunny day in Gloucester, Massachusetts. There are sailboats out on the harbor today, waves are lapping at the shore, people are walking along and enjoying the day. Back in 1817, though, people here in Gloucester were looking at something very different, or at least they thought they were. This is Off the Path from WSHU Public Radio. I'm Davis Donovan, and we're wrapping up this season, which we've called Off the Plank, with the tale of Gloucester's sea serpent. Wayne Soiney remembers seeing a picture of it at the Cape Ann Museum as a kid.
And the docent who told us about it spoke of it in such a vivid way, I thought it happened the week before. And I was really impressed that we had a sea serpent in town.
Wayne is the author of a book about the Gloucester sea serpent. He says the sightings didn't start in 1817. They go back to the 1600s, at least by European sailors.
They were at sea off Cape Ann, and they observed at a distance on a rock a sea serpent sunning itself. And the Indians warned the settlers not to fire at this thing, because if they did, they were all in danger for their lives.
The next recorded sightings happened 200 years later. The first people to sight the creature were two women, but sadly, their names are lost to history.
Nobody bothered to get names of women in those days. And they looked out and they saw this sea serpent swim into the harbor. Nobody believed them. Old wives' tale. Suddenly, the next day or two, Captain Amos Story, a very respected mariner in Gloucester, saw the same thing, and of course he was believed.
Captain Story described something very unusual.
50 to 70 feet long, olive green or dark brown in color. It could curve around almost in a U-turn or a horseshoe shape, so its head was moving in one direction and its tail was moving in the other.
Townsfolk lined the shores of Gloucester Harbor within days, and the sea serpent showed up. It wasn't shy. It dove and splashed in the water and chased boats. Everyone could see it.
They were fascinated. They couldn't get enough, and they were bringing out their relatives.
Not everybody loved having a dangerous beast in the harbor, though.
The sea serpent, I mean, a large animal, almost like a torpedo on the loose in the harbor, kept boats inshore, stopped fishermen from fishing, and eventually had some hostility to its presence.
So someone hired the best sharpshooter in town, a guy named Matt Gaffney.
And Matt Gaffney went out in his rowboat with his brother and a friend to find the sea serpent and take him on. He had a gun, and he took a shot. And the sea serpent dove quickly when it was shot at.
Reported sightings of the sea serpent continued for a few weeks. Some people wrote down what they saw, and that makes Gloucester kind of unique in the history of cryptids, animals whose existence isn't proven and maybe entirely imaginary.
Well, we're champions in one way. Nobody has had a sea serpent in their sights for 2 weeks at a time.
All those reports caught the attention of the newspapers, and then the story got bigger than Gloucester and made its way to Boston. This was all happening in the early days of modern science. The Swedish biologist Carl Linnaeus had recently invented the taxonomy system, organizing animals by species, order, genus, and so on. Linnaeus inspired others to form chapters that used his system all over America and Europe.
Which was endeavoring to categorize, classify, all plant and animal life on Earth. And of course, if you have a sea serpent, a totally new species, you really have scored a coup.
Boston's newly formed Linnaean Society showed up in Gloucester to investigate. A researcher went around town and found about a dozen people willing to swear under oath they'd seen the sea serpent.
Reliable witnesses, and they were all very usually prominent and wealthy people, and they swore to tell the truth, and they went on record, and these records are published.
Okay, so if we step out in here for a second.
One of the few remaining copies of the report can be found at the Cape Ann Museum in downtown Gloucester.
Head librarian and archivist has very kindly pulled out these materials for you to take a look at today.
Museum director Oliver Barker carefully opens a tattered, faded, pocket-sized pamphlet published in 1817.
As you can see, it's a very delicate document. I'm not going to turn all the pages here.
So this is the report from the Linnaean Society.
Exactly. The report of a committee of the Linnaean Society of New England relative to the large marine animal supposed to be a serpent seen near Cape Ann, Massachusetts in August 1817.
The Linnaean Society took detailed testimony from about a dozen people.
In order to try and be as objective as possible, they actually set up a questionnaire of 25 questions that they asked each witness independently. Question number one, when did you first see this animal? Two, how often and how long at a time? Three, at what times of day? Four, at what distance? Five, how near to the shore?
I saw him nearly all day from the shore.
Here's a reading from a witness named Solomon Allen.
When he moved on the surface of the water, his motion was slow, at times playing about in circles and sometimes moving nearly straight forward. When he disappeared, he sunk apparently directly down and would next appear at 200 yards from where he disappeared in 2 minutes.
Some witnesses disagreed about some pretty important details, like how the sea serpent moved, up and down or side to side. And the creature's length varies a little bit.
I should say he was from 40 to 60 feet in length.
From what I saw of him, I should say that he was nothing short of 70 feet.
He appeared to be about 100 or 120 feet long.
But most witnesses agreed the sea serpent was fast, faster than a whale. He held his head above the water, and his body seemed divided into joints or sections.
I was in a boat and was within 30 feet of him.
That's from the testimony of Matt Gaffney, the guy who shot at the sea serpent.
I had a good gun, took good aim, I aimed at his head, and I think I must have hit him. He turned toward us immediately after I'd fired, and I thought he was coming at us. But he sunk down and went directly below our boat, and made his appearance about 100 yards from where he sunk.
The Linnaean Society gave the creature a scientific name, Scoliophus atlanticus. But the most interesting piece of evidence was at the end of the pamphlet.
About 4 weeks after the depositions, a serpent of remarkable appearance was brought from Gloucester to Boston and exhibited as the progeny of the great serpent.
In other words, they thought they'd found the body of one of its babies, washed up on the beach. They published a detailed autopsy complete with an illustrated anatomy and submitted it to the scientific world as conclusive proof. Other scientists quickly saw it for what it was, a common, everyday black snake.
It looked like a tiny 3-foot sea serpent, but it was nothing to do. It was found on the beach a mile from the ocean, and so it just wasn't anything to do with the investigation.
Wayne Soiney says Boston's Linnaean Society became the laughingstock of the scientific community. They disbanded shortly afterwards.
It didn't make waves, if you want to put that way. And people still thereafter doubted whether there was a sea serpent in Gloucester.
But sailors in Gloucester loved the story of the sea serpent. Museum director Oliver Barker carefully lifts up a billet head. That's a piece of art that decorates the front of a ship. It came from a schooner that sailed in the area for decades. When it was retired, the captain gave the billet head to the museum. This one is a colorful representation of a sea serpent's head.
The head would have gone on the front of the ship, right at the bow. We're looking at here, this is a wonderful piece of wood carving. You can see the texture of the fish scales or the sea serpent scales. It has a painted red tongue. It would have been quite dramatic, I think, there at the front of the vessel.
But did Gloucester's real-life sea serpent really exist? Barker doesn't speculate. He says it's important to remember what was going on at that point in history.
These sightings came at a really interesting time for America. You had the War of 1812, of course. And then the summer before the sea serpent was sighted, there was a huge volcanic eruption in Indonesia that had a very lasting impact on areas here in North America.
This was the year without a summer.
This was the year without a summer. I think in parts of New England, they experienced snow in July. And crops, of course, didn't grow. It was really a very dire time. So it's interesting to think of that context when people were, you know, seeing this sea serpent and coming together as a community. There were obviously other challenges at play.
Historian Wayne Soiney, though, he's a believer. He says just because the black snake they found wasn't a sea serpent doesn't mean there wasn't a sea serpent. He finds the witness testimony very compelling.
There's always differences. I was a lawyer for 30 years, and you notice that the same witnesses, two or three witnesses, it's the same event, but their eyes and their ears are different, and their memory is different. But all these witnesses still add up to me to be people trying to tell the truth and being very credible.
If only someone had managed to capture some ironclad proof.
Back in those days, they had no photographs, photography, they didn't have videotapes. They had no easy way to preserve what they were seeing, and that's too bad. Had they done so, had the sea serpent appeared in 1917 instead of 1817, I think we would have had front page news in the whole world, let alone Gloucester, Massachusetts.
There have been occasional sightings of the sea serpent since 1817, but if you want to see it in Gloucester, the best place is probably at the Cape Ann Museum, where there's a statue of the creature out front, or on a mural painted in a park down at Gloucester Harbor. Thanks for listening to this season of Off the Path from WSHU Public Radio. I'm Davis Donovan, and we leave you with a song from the Ranzo Boys about, yes, a sea serpent.
This is The Great Sea Snake.
That's Lafayette Matthews of the Ranzo Boys.
We had a lot of fun with this song. We found it in a book from 1891 and set it to the tune The Two Magicians. The images in the song are amazing, particularly the snake trying to stand up to touch the sky.
Perhaps you'll all have heard a yarn of a famous large sea snake that was once seen off the Isle of Pitcairn and caught by Admiral Blake. Now list not what land lovers tell, but give an ear to me, and I'll tell you what to me befell, cause I'm just come from sea, singing Toll, toll, dirol, won't you give your ear to me, and I'll tell you what to me befell, cause I'm just come from sea. Well, the snake, he measured miles twice two, but there they surely lied, for I was one of that ship's crew by which its length was tried. One morning from his head we bore with every stitch at sail, and going at 10 knots an hour in 6 months found his tail, singing Toll, toll, dirol, won't you give your ear to me, and I'll tell you what to me befell, cause I've just come from sea. Now once on end with all his strength the snake to stand did try, but when he got up half his length his head did touch the sky. Some seamen whom this snake did know, but he was famed Tenerife, so straightway sent their jolly boat for fresh water and beef, singing Toll, toll, dirol, won't you give your ear to me, and I'll tell you what to me befell, cause I'm just come from sea. The sea he fills with breakers new by the shedding of his teeth, on which was wrecked the whole ship's crew of a vessel bound for Leaf. So landsmen all, I pray give ear, and do some pity take. You'll see what dangers did appear from this thundering large sea snake, singing Toll, toll, dirol, won't you give your ear to me, and I'll tell you what to me befell, cause I've just come from sea, singing Toll, toll, dirol, won't you give your ear to me, and I'll tell you what to me befell, cause I've just come from sea.